When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
What are our way too early 2023 fantasy predictions? Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined by two of my favorite people that I work with every single day, Pat Fitzmaurice and Derek Brown, both from Fantasy Bros. D-Bro, as I told you guys before the show, I have been moving all weekend. It has been very hectic, so I'm going to ask you to please bear with me as I go into this show. Maybe a little less prepared than I usually am.
Man, I understand the moving struggles. I still remember Ryan the last time, and it's been a few years, man, but I was too cheap to sit here and go like out to the moving store or somewhere else and buy boxes. So like I did like the college aspect of it. And I went to like Walmart late at night one time. So I got all like the regular boxes that were unloading things in the freezer and stuff. The problem in the whole entire part of this story that you really need to like grasp onto is that for about 4 or 5 days after we unpacked, all of my clothes smell like tater tots and I felt like I was in heaven. So just throwing that out there.
I also went a little cheap box wise. My parents very generously flew out here to assist with the move over the last couple of days and, you know, just setting up the new house and everything. And I had them bring out extra. They flew out with extra suitcases that I then would load up and take back and forth on the truck just to make it easier, not to get too many boxes. Fitz, this is my fourth move in the last 3.5 years. You seem like somebody who hasn't moved a lot lately.
Oh, my goodness, Ryan. We've been in the same place for 18 years now, my wife and I and kids, and we never want to move again. Yeah. I mean, I hope the next time I move out, hopefully it's them taking me out in a, pine box. I hate moving. It sucks. And, I'm glad to see you've got your setup going here, Ryan.
Yeah, I've got the Fantasy Pros hat. I've got a little Hodor carrying brand for my favorite show. I've got a Brooks Robinson bobblehead. You'll notice too, Pat, I've got the Fantasy Baseball Championship belt. That needs to be displayed a little more prominently, actually, I think, that I earned by winning the Work League last year. It'll develop here as I sort of figure out what the studio is actually going to look like. He is at @Debro_FFB, and then Fitz is at @Fitz_FF. I am at Ryan Wormley, all on Twitter. Today we are talking about our top 10 way too early fantasy predictions. And Fitz, you and I talk a lot about college basketball. Today is the day after the national title game. It's the day that every single website comes out with their way too early top 25 for next year. This is sort of a similar idea, obviously just keeping it to the top 10. And obviously it's fantasy football and not college basketball. But the same idea, we're just kind of looking ahead. These aren't necessarily bold predictions. They're just way too early predictions, although some of them may be a little more bold than others. We will go 10-1, starting with D-Bro. What is your number 10 way too early prediction?
All right, guys. So I'm going to kick this off. I'm not going to sit here and light the fire and just totally have it blazing coming out the gate here. So I'm going to go with Calvin Ridley is going to have the best season of his career tied to Trevor Lawrence this year. And I know that might just not be earth-shattering for some. Trevor Lawrence was playing incredible football last year. And I'm looking at Calvin Ridley, and I'm staring at him in early best ball drafts. Like, if you look at him in the Fantasy Pros Championship right now, Calvin Ridley is going off the board at, wide receiver 22. And I think that that is just a great value because you're looking at Ridley. The last time we saw him on the field, I get the box scores weren't great, fellas. But if you look at the deeper metrics and what he was able to control outside of terrible quarterback play, because at the time we didn't know Matt Ryan was totally, totally washed. He was. Calvin Ridley was fifth in route win rate in 2021. Third in win rate against man coverage. I just think that this is a great explosive opportunity to get a wide receiver. I'm not going to say like it's pretty close to what I think his absolute floor is, assuming health inside of a Jaguars offense and Trevor Lawrence possibly taking again that next step into the elite tier of fantasy quarterbacks. Ridley's going to go along for the ride. So sign me up for Ridley posting the best statistical season of his career.
Yeah, I think it's a really interesting guy to talk about because Ridley is, you know, usually the two sort of pillars that you look at when you're evaluating a fantasy guy's value is situation and talent. And both of those he has in spades. It's a great situation. Like you said, Trevor Lawrence, up and coming offense, all that stuff. And obviously we know Ridley's really talented, but there's that potential rust factor. How much are you weighing that in when you're trying to evaluate where you want to draft him?
I mean, right now, I'm not really going to weigh that in because honestly, that's just predicting something that we don't know. I mean, we heard the same kind of things out of other players, and I know we haven't seen this come to fruition a whole lot, but didn't we hear the same thing out of Ja'Marr Chase? Oh, he took a year off of football. Mm-hmm. He forgot how to catch a football. I don't think Ridley has forgotten how to play football after doing it for his entire life. And the other part about this, if you look at his contract and stuff, he is going to be motivated to come out and ball out this year. And it's not like he's ancient. He's 28. So assuming he's been working out, stepping into this offensive ecosystem, fireworks, baby.
Yeah, it's funny. Ridley went from a couple years ago, I think I heard a lot of people say he's actually older than you might realize, to now after missing time. He's actually younger than you might realize. Yeah. It's funny how the human brain works that way. Fitz, hit me with your number 10 prediction.
All right. D-Bro is just so overwhelmingly positive. I've got to go negative here. And I'm going to go pretty bold, I'd like to think. The first wide receiver the Pittsburgh Steelers select in this year's NFL draft is going to score more fantasy points than George Pickens. And I felt pretty hard for Pickens last year because of his extraordinary ability to make contested catches. Like he was instantly in the Mike Evans, DK Metcalf class as a contested catch artist. Maybe not quite in the Evans class, but way up there. I think I overlooked some flaws because I was so impressed with some of his highlight reel stuff, namely his inability to draw targets and his problems getting separation and making yardage after the catch. Pickens never drew more than 8 targets in any game his rookie year. And from week 6 on, he never had more than 6 targets. Pickens was near the bottom of the league in separation per route, according to Next Gen Stats, and also near the bottom of the rankings in yardage after the catch, just two yards after the catch per reception. So I don't know. Pickens turned 22 a month ago, so it's possible he gets better as a route runner and becomes more precise, picks up some nuance, starts getting more separation. Or maybe this is just who he is. But meanwhile, the Steelers are going to draft a receiver. They've already had a couple guys in for pre-draft visits, Jonathan Mingo of Ole Miss and Charlie Jones of Purdue. Mingo just happens to be one of my favorites in this class. Historically, very few teams have nailed a specific position the way the Steelers have nailed the wide receiver position. So I have a feeling they're going to hit on whoever they take in this year's draft. And even though this person is probably going to be a number 3 receiver, getting maybe 70% of the snaps that Pickens gets, I think this receiver is going to draw more targets, have more catches, and be a more productive fantasy receiver than George Pickens.
And names like Mingo and Jones, you're thinking this is more of a day 2 pick for them, not a day 1 pick?
Day 2, maybe even day 3. You know, they've just shown such an aptitude for getting instant impact out of their wide receivers. I think they're going to do it again, and this guy's going to outproduce Pickens.
Yeah, there might not be a team position pairing that we trust more than Steelers with wide receivers. Before we get to the next prediction, get ahead of the game with our 2023 NFL Draft Guide at fantasypros.com/draftguide with player profiles, prospect mock drafts, big boards, prop bet picks, and sleepers. We've got you covered on all things related to the NFL Draft for free. Plus, premium subscribers also get access to our NFL Draft position rankings and our Discord, where you can can interact directly with our analysts. Go premium today if you haven't already, and check out our 2023 NFL Draft Guide now at fantasypros.com/draft guide. They've got it all there. D-Bro, give me your number 9 way too early prediction.
All right, so I'm not going to say I'm pushing back on Pat's last prediction, but if this one comes to fruition, it could help with George Pickens. And this might shock some people hearing this come out of my mouth, because I have been extremely low on this player ever since he was drafted.
It shocked me reading it.
Yep, it shocked me looking at these numbers, guys. But Kenny Pickett, I think, could take a big step forward in year two. And I was not expecting to see this, but going in deeper the numbers, we have to stay. We always talk about this, fellas, staying liquid about how you're projecting players. And when we get a little bit of new data, like, I'm not going to go overboard on Pickett, but this stuff is eye popping. So over his final 6 games of last season, Kenny Pickett played much, much better football than any of the box score chasers would ever, ever understand. Kenny Pickett was first in PFF passing grade, 4th in big time throw rate, so making some really tough throws the entire time, and he was first in deep passing grade per PFF. Now, also, like, over this stretch, he's also 7th in EPA per dropback. So we know there's talented players surrounding Kenny Pickett. We got Najee, we just talked about Pickens, you got Freiermuth and Deontay, and whoever they add in the draft. Not even to mention, we buried the lead. Calvin Austin is coming back too after missing his entire rookie season. So, talented cast of characters. If this is even like any shade remotely of what Kenny Pickett is or could be in this season, his QB22 ADP in the Fantasy Pros Championship could be a really, really good value right now. And that honestly hurts me to say. But the numbers are leading me here, guys.
I was going to ask, what does a big step forward look like? Because he's going in the 20s right now, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm. For him to turn in high-end QB2 production would be a big step forward for me, where you're getting a lot of like low-end QB1 weeks. Maybe he's not near that tier every single week, but splitting hairs, maybe he gives us half of the season. He's a QB1 in weekly scoring and comes out like finishes higher than QB15 would be a pretty decent step forward for me.
Fitz, what's your next prediction?
I'm going to say that Jake Ferguson of the Dallas Cowboys has a tight end one season. And we have just seen consecutive tight end one seasons from Dalton Schultz, who finished tight end 3 in 2021 and tight end 10 in 2022. And it's my contention that Dalton Schultz is just a guy, a capable but athletically ordinary tight end who just happened to be in a really good situation in Dallas. Now he's gone, and it's quite possible the Cowboys will place him with the capable but athletically ordinary Jake Ferguson, who, it could be Peyton Hendershot last year, although Ferguson did play 44% more snaps than Hendershot, had 50% more targets. And for his last 2 years at the University of Wisconsin, Jake Ferguson was the leading pass catcher for the Badgers. Like, he is used to carrying a significant load in a passing game. He's done it before, and Ferguson is not going to be drafted in a lot of fantasy drafts this summer, but I do think he's going to be fantasy viable. Possible that Cowboys surprise us and go with a tight end in round 1, and that messes things up a little bit, but if they don't, Ferguson is primed for a surprise season in fantasy.
Does the addition of Brandon Cooks make you think that this offense might gear a little more towards wide receivers than the tight end this year, or that doesn't really concern you when evaluating the tight end?
Yeah, I mean, it would have a small impact in the percentage of targets to Dallas tight ends, but I don't think an overwhelming thing. I think, you know, Prescott has shown a proclivity to look to his tight ends, especially in the red zone. So I think whoever is in there is still going to be productive.
D-Bro, give me your number 8 way too early prediction.
Alrighty. So I'm not going to say there could be maybes and stuff. Cam Akers is an RB1 in fantasy for this season. And I know that I've been a Cam Akers stan for a long time, but I think that people are truly, truly sleeping on what this man did last year inside of a broken offense. Down the stretch, Matthew Stafford's gone. Cooper Kupp's gone. Van Jefferson's banged up. We're talking about Baker Mayfield, Tutu Atwell, and a bunch of schmoes starting on offense outside of Tyler Higbee. Offensive line is banged up. And Cam Akers, from weeks 13 through 18 inside of this broken system, was the RB6 in fantasy points per game. Now you're telling me Stafford's coming back. Offensive line's going to get healthier. Cooper Kupp's coming back. Maybe they add a little more talent, a wide receiver in the draft, get rid and jettison Allen Robinson. And so, yeah, Cam Akers can't reproduce that stretch run coming off a fully healthy offseason. I'm not buying it, guys. I think he's an RB1 this season. Over that stretch, he averaged 19.1 touches, 101 total yards. He was 11th in high-value touches amongst running backs. He got 100% of their goal line carries. So I think that he is firmly in play as a workhorse, and people are sleeping on him. And I'm going to be buying in, especially in best balls right now, at his early cost, because it's just easy pickings.
My biggest concern with Akers is just, what about the chance that the offense might be broken again next year? Maybe not to the degree it was this year with guys coming back, but there is like a little bit of unreliability there. From what you're saying, it doesn't matter even if that's the case. He's just getting so much volume. He's going to be good either way.
He's getting so much volume. And honestly, he was really, really good if you just look at efficiency metrics. Like, we're talking about a guy after week 10 that was 7th in PFF's elusive rating. So you combine volume plus an improving situation. I mean, if we're not going to say he's an RB1, he's definitely top 15. And in most drafts right now, he's going as a low-end RB2 or high-end RB3, and it's just ludicrous.
Pat, your next prediction is something that would have been considered blasphemous last August.
Yeah, Ryan, I'm going to predict that Antonio Gibson scores more fantasy points than Brian Robinson. And I know people were really high on Brian Robinson as a prospect last year. And, Antonio Gibson is big. He's really fast. This guy has so many tools in the toolkit. And last year, we saw Scott Turner, the Washington play caller, give him a 46% snap share after Antonio Gibson had seen a 57% snap share the year before. So he dialed down the usage a little bit in favor of Robinson as soon as Robinson came back from his gunshot wounds. Now that Turner's no longer Washington's offensive coordinator, I'm optimistic that Eric Bieniemy sort of turns back to Gibson as maybe his weapon of choice. And I personally think Gibson is more talented than Robinson with the size, the speed, the pass catching. This is a guy who scored double-digit touchdowns his first two seasons in the NFL. And in the Fantasy Pros Expert Consensus Rankings, Robinson is running back 30 in half-point PPR, and Gibson is running back 35. I think Bieniemy is going to appreciate Gibson's pass-catching talents. And, we saw Jerick McKinnon unexpectedly give us a running back 2 season last year in Kansas City. If he can do that at age 30, I'm very confident that an impressive specimen like Antonio Gibson can give us at least a running back 2 season at age 25 in the prime years of his career.
Yeah, and last year it definitely felt like as we moved along the summer, the shine really came off of Gibson and everybody's really excited about Robinson, obviously before, you know, the gunshot wounds he was dealing with. But this is quite a turnaround from a year ago where, you know, that whole offseason there was so much helium for Robinson, right?
It is. And, I get it. And it was impressive what Robinson did coming back from that injury. But ultimately, I kind of think he's just a guy, a capable early down back. But to me, Gibson can be special. Like, I think Gibson is the better player, and I'd like to see him on the field more than Robinson.
Debro, what's your next prediction?
All right. So I know Andrew Erickson is not on this show, but I'm still going to bring this up anyway because Fitz is here. So I know Fitz is all in the Jerry Jeudy camp. He was in there last year and probably will be again this year. I'm going to sit here and throw this out there that I think Courtland Sutton is headed for a big bounce back season. And I get it. Everybody just eye rolled collectively because we were on here last year and we're talking about Courtland Sutton and what this Broncos offense could be. It was terrible. I'm not going to tell you that it wasn't terrible last year, but I think a lot of this had to do with Russell Wilson. It was not, and should not be laid at the feet of Courtland Sutton. Everything, again, we're talking about things that he can control and trying to parse between what is actual context about how good Courtland Sutton still is. last year, despite being the wide receiver 40 in fantasy points per game, ouch, was not great. He was 23rd in route win rate. He was 10th in win rate against man coverage, and he was 12th in open rate per ESPN analytics. All of those numbers scream to me that Russell Wilson was the problem and not Cortland Sutton. If he gets open at the same type of clip, I think he's going to earn targets again and have a better season than he did last year. So a lot of this I'm putting, yes, on the onus of Sean Payton designing a better offense than Nathaniel Hackett. I don't think that that is a really big stretch, guys, but early drafts and stuff, everybody's just leaving Cortland Sutton for dead. He's like a wide receiver four.
It's not a big stretch, but you didn't say Nathaniel Hackett was the problem, although I know you believe that. You said Russell Wilson was the problem. So do you believe Russell Wilson is fixable enough by an improved, you know, offensive game planning from Sean Payton that he can then take advantage of Cortland Sutton getting open?
I think that he absolutely can, considering what we saw from Russell Wilson after Hackett was booted out of Denver last year. Over his four or five final starts, this guy is turning in top five, top 10 fantasy QB weeks. So while he might not be prime Russell Wilson that we came to love in Seattle and stuff, and now I know he's more of a meme lord and we love to just toss jokes, I think he could be in for a big bounce back this year.
Fitz, your next prediction is also a wide receiver who didn't quite live up to the hype last year.
Yeah, it is. And just to clarify a point, Debro, it wasn't so much that I was totally in on Jerry Jeudy last year. My stance was just that I wasn't sure Cortland Sutton was the best wide receiver in Denver last year, which...
So not so much pro Jeudy, just shade Sutton.
A little bit. I just wasn't as sure. And that's kind of the thing. Like, I want to be sure when the market is moving in a certain direction before I, you know, let myself get swept away with the market on that player. Like, I want to make sure there's valid reason. And that's kind of leading me to this next prediction. After the derailment of the Gabriel Davis hype train in 2022, Davis is going to have 1,000+ receiving yards and 10 touchdowns in 2023. It's going to turn out that everyone was just a year too early. And really, like, I don't think this is too bold a prediction because he had an ankle injury early last year. It caused him to miss one game. And then in the two games after he came back, he only had 50 combined yards. And also keep in mind that Davis did not have any numbers in week 17 when we had the Damar Hamlin situation. So missed two games, was clearly hampered in two other. If you take out the two he missed and the two where he was playing Hurts, he was on pace for 1,028 yards and 9 touchdowns. And also bear in mind that Gabriel Davis just turned 24. This past weekend, he is still ascending. I think too many people are going to be dismissive of him because there was a lot of hype last year. He didn't quite live up to it. And, you know, his ECR has kind of crashed. It's wide receiver 42 right now. Don't be surprised if he finally has that breakout season that everyone was prepared for last year.
What do you expect Buffalo to do at wide receiver? Do you think they're going to add a big name? Are they going to add another rookie? They have Khalil Shakir. Do you think that we're going to go into next season with Davis still as the clear number two guy in the offense?
Yeah, I mean, I like Shakir. They added Deontay Hardy, who I think Debro liked as a sort of under the radar pickup. And I don't really think they need to spend a day one or a day two pick on a receiver. I'd be a little surprised if they did that. I mean, we saw that, you know, maybe they could use another run stuffer. Based on what we saw in the playoffs, would be kind of fun to see them bring in another running back, even if it's not a guy with the initials BR. So, yeah, I mean, I think they have bigger needs than wide receiver. And, you know, I really like Shakir. I really like Gabe Davis. I think they've got enough there.
Debro, talk to me about another high scoring offense.
I think the Los Angeles Chargers are going to be the highest scoring offense in the NFL this year. You have new OC Kellerman heading to town. His 4 years at Dallas, we do not need to discount what this man was able to do. They were first in total yards twice. They were top six in points scored three times. They were top three in yards per play twice. And what we saw out of the Chargers offense last year, and it was all dink and dunk and Justin Herbert, either his weapons were not healthy. So, yes, we do need the weapons to stay healthy. I think the Chargers are also going to address the wide receiver position in the top two rounds of the draft, as well as this offense is going to get back to throwing the ball down the field. You've seen Dak Prescott over that 4 year span finish top seven in deep ball attempts twice. And so if we see that out of Justin Herbert, they have another weapon. Whether you project Austin Eckler is there or not, a lot of mocks have them possibly going with Bijan Robinson in the draft. This is going to be an explosive offense. And I'm not so willing to like just dive in and say, OCs are just going to change the game. Like, we need to sit here and be diving into these offense, not because of the players, the quarterbacks, whatever, because of the offensive coordinator. This is a situation where, yes, going from Lombardi to Kellen Moore is a really, really good thing, and how it's going to change the complexion of this offense.
I'm glad you said Kellen Moore that time. I think you said Kellen Mond the first time, and I didn't think that the quarterback whose most recent Wikipedia entry was being claimed off waivers by the Browns a year ago was
Mike
was
Zimmer
the guy
would never. Met. My apologies, Mike Zimmer would never.
Fitz, give me your next prediction.
I'm going to say that Trey Lance will start at least 12 games for the 49ers this year and will finish inside QB1 range in fantasy points per game. What are we doing here, 49ers? Like, Trey Lance is still the same uniquely talented quarterback prospect whom you gave up a boatload of draft capital to acquire. I mean, he made two starts last year, one of which was in monsoon-like conditions in Chicago. And in the other one, he broke his ankle and was done for the season. So he has not had sufficient opportunity to show off that NFL caliber arm or that Konami code rushing potential. And yet the 49ers seem ready to make him the backup to Brock Purdy, the very last pick in the 2022 draft. And look, I realize draft capital is not always destiny, but giving credit where credit is due, Purdy played very well over an 8-game sample size last year, kept the 49ers on track to go deep into the playoffs. But come on, Kyle Shanahan. I mean, let's not make the mistake of regarding Brock Purdy as the second coming of Joe Montana. You want a poker hand with a pair of fives, and don't assume that you can run that bluff again a second time. Shanny is a smart man. I think he comes to his senses, eventually makes Trey Lance the full-time starter, and Lance puts up quarterback one numbers in an offense that has more skill position than probably any other in the league.
Yeah, Lance is somebody I'm like fascinated to see what his ADP ends up as the summer continues. Right now on FFPC, he's 20th in the regular contest. He's 24th in best ball. So I am like, to me, that's too low. So I agree with you there. Just because the upside is unreal. Even if you think that right now, if they're building out a depth chart today, that he wasn't QB1, it's just so easy to paint the narrative that he will get there. And when he does, we know any quarterback in a Kyle Shanahan offense is going to be really good. With his tools, like, it seems almost impossible that he would fail. But he's a guy I could just see the ADP being all over the place kind of until we get to that August range. Do you have a sense, Pat, where you would rank him, like where you think you're going to ultimately end up ranking him just in terms of a straight quarterback listing?
Boy, I don't, Ryan, because we are going to know more about what they are going to do with the quarterback situation early in the season. And I'm worried that they are going to go, like, if he's healthy, if he recovers from this UCL injury, which I have serious reservations about, because that, you know, we know from, we're both baseball fans, Ryan, D-Bro too. Like, that's a serious injury, man. So if Purdy's healthy and ready to go, I mean, we're going to have to downgrade Lance because of the way they're talking about Purdy as being the incumbent.
I'm not sure Debo is actually much of a baseball fan, considering he was once confused that I, an Orioles fan, hated the Yankees. He didn't get why. So
maybe that's just my Yankees fandom, Ryan.
We're not going to give him too much credit. If you're one of those people who skips through podcast ad reads, please trust me when I say you do not want to miss out on what I'm about to say. Let's take a moment to talk about our FFPC Championship. Join FFPC's Fantasy Pros Championship for a chance to win $6 million in total prizes, including a $1 million grand prize. Free Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros subscriptions are up for grabs as well. Sign up now at fantasypros.com/championship and use promo code FANTASYPROS to save $25 on your entry. Enter before June 1st and draft before June 15th to score an extra $35 early bird credit. In each 12-team league, you'll navigate a 12-week regular season with weekly waivers and lineup decisions, but no trades. The top two seeds and each league's playoff champ will advance to the championship round and compete for the $1 million prize. That's during weeks 15 to 17. Don't miss out. Visit fantasypros.com/championship and use promo code fantasypros for $25 off your entry. Happy drafting. Guys, $1 million, okay? I'm not saying that you're going to win like a free premium subscription, which you could, and that's great and awesome and valuable, but $1 million. Definitely don't miss out on that opportunity. Let's get to our top five predictions here. D-Bro, give me your number five.
Deshaun Watson. I think he can be a top three guy as far as touchdown passes this year. Finish inside the top three because, and I know he played terrible last year. And I'm not trying to be bold with this, but what we've seen out of Deshaun Watson over his career, I mean, first of all, this guy from 2017 to 2020 was seventh in passing touchdown rate. So we know that the high-end passing touchdown rates are in his range of outcomes. But also, whenever he was under center in Cleveland, they were second in red zone passing rate. So if they're going to be throwing more, which we're getting a lot of like little buzz and rumors coming out of Cleveland that they're going to pass more, and they've added Elijah Moore, DPJ had a breakout season last year. If all these things kind of come to fruition, as well as over his final three starts, they were 13th in neutral script pace. If the pace and the passing rates, especially when they're inside the 20, coalesce, Deshaun Watson's going to finish top three in passing touchdowns this year.
First of all, I couldn't help but laugh when you said you're not trying to be bold, just given how terrible he was last year to have a prediction.
It's 1 year out of an entire career of him being top shelf. I might not like the human, but he's really good at football.
I know we already talked about the rust, though, with Calvin Ridley, but I mean, I think like it's not just 1 year that he hasn't been producing. It's been several at this point since he last produced at a high level. But also, I don't know if anybody can hear it since I am in a new house. So this is the first show doing it, but there is a dog barking outside. So hopefully my neighbors are able to corral him in. Fitz, give me your number five prediction.
Ryan, I'm going to say there are five rookies among the top 20 fantasy scorers at running back this season. And guys, the great thing about this prediction is I don't even have to name the rookie running backs who are going to be top 20. I'm assuming that Bijan Robinson is going to be one of them. That leaves four guys to go into the top 20. And while I can't name names here, look, we see running backs come out of the fog every year to become surprisingly viable fantasy contributors who command our fab dollars on waiver night. And a lot of those times, these guys are rookies. Hello, Tyler Algier, who became an impactful guy down the stretch and helped people win championships last year. So this rookie running back class has 15 to 20 credible prospects. And not all these guys are going to land in spots where they have a clear path to a big workload right away. But, you know, we know what the injury rate is like for running backs and how often these guys go down and how often coaches and offensive coordinators shuffle the deck at the position. So I think we're going to see a bunch of these guys hits this year. Five rookie running backs in the top 20 by season's end.
I love this prediction. I think it's a great one. I know you don't want to name names, but I do want to get at least one. Not Bijan, and I know Gibbs is the consensus number two. Beyond that, let's assume everybody lands in a really good landing spot, so you're happy about all of them. Who's the next guy that you'd be most excited about?
Oh, D-Bro knows. I'm going to go with my favorite pet, Devon Achane of Texas A&M. Yep. I mean, this guy's like, to me, he's the modern-day Warwick Dunn. I'm really excited about this guy.
All right. I know he's super fast. I don't know a ton else beyond that, but he is definitely really fast and speed is always fun. D-Bro, give me your next prediction.
Okay, guys. So if you're diving into the Fantasy Pros Championship, and again, the FFPC being tight end premium format, you're going to want to stay tuned for these next two predictions. And the first one I'm going to kick off here is that Jelani Woods is going to have a breakout season in his second year. Looking at what Jelani Woods, and first of all, he is being left and buried in the FFPC ADPs, tight end 32. And looking at his talent profile, we know the athleticism, the guy is a mutant. Okay. We know that that is there. But looking at how he was deployed last year, 58% snap rate, either slot or out wide. So he only ran, he only had six snaps for pass blocking. When he's on the field, it is to catch passes and run routes. Now you have a brand new coaching staff coming in. So all of the yesteryear vibes of the Colts being, okay, we're just going to run tight end committee and you're not going to be able to use anybody. Three tight ends, four tight ends. Who you got off the street? Who can play tight end? That's not going to be the case. We have a brand new coaching staff. Shane Steichen and Jim Bob Cooter being there. They have both leaned on one guy to play the full-time tight end role. And I think that's going to be Jelani Woods this year. Looking at his talent, his upside, he was 14th in yards per route run last year, 9th in yards per route run against man coverage. So we know he can win not only from the slot, but outside. I think Jelani Woods is going to be a fantastic pick for all the people like me that are going to wait on tight ends. If you're not paying up, Jelani Woods needs to be at the top of your board.
Fitz, what's your next prediction?
For the first time since 2017, we will not have a rookie wide receiver finish in the top 20 fantasy scores at the position. As enthusiastic as I am about the running back class, I am far less enthusiastic about this year's wide receiver class. We've gotten really lucky with wideout classes of late. I don't think this year's crop is as good. It's kind of thin. Yes, some of these guys are going to hit, but I don't think any of them are going to hit significantly and be top 20 guys right away. Sorry about that, D-Bro. I know you are a big Jaxon Smith-Njigba fan. I like him too, but I don't think we are getting a super splashy Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase type rookie season out of JSN. And I don't know if we'll even get, say, a capable Chris Olave type season out of him, because Olave went to a team where he was able to instantly, well, not instantly, I guess it took a few games for the Michael Thomas injury to hit, but he was basically the wide receiver one for most of his rookie season. I don't think we're necessarily going to see that with JSN, where he's probably going to wind up somewhere as a number two. So no rookies in the top 20 this year.
So I did see this tweet yesterday. Ohio State wide receivers coach Brian Hartline ranked the top receivers he's coached at Ohio State. And from 5 to 1, 5 was Olave, 4 was McLaurin, 3 was Garrett Wilson, 2 was JSN, and number 1, Marvin Harrison Jr. So that probably is a little bit of, hey, let me help out the guys that are still yet to be drafted and just build them up and, you know, try and get the hype going for them. But also, like, they seem really talented. I know Olave and Wilson have said that JSN was the better receiver than them. So the people in that Ohio State program seem to be higher on Smith and Jigba than you are, Pat.
No, I mean, I do like him. I don't want to be considered to be bagging on Jaxon Smith and Jigba. I mean, I'd love to see him wearing green and gold, the Packers colors, after draft day. But, you know, we'll see. I just don't think he's going to step in immediately and be a number one receiver for whoever drafts him.
And D-Bro, anybody who goes on the Fantasy Pros site who's ever read an article by you during this draft season will know that you love JSN. Anybody who's ever been in a dynasty league with you who owns the 104 pick that you're trying to trade for knows that you love Jaxon Smith and Jigba. So I will give you a moment here to sort of rebut Pat's limited pessimism on him.
Oh, anybody that's in dynasty leagues with me is tired of me trying to send offers for anything from the 103 to the 105 trying to get JSN. I want all the JSN. I'll push back on Pat here. I think he's going to be a target hog from the word go. I think he is the truth. I think he is. That's where I push back on this class. I think that he is that Ja'Marr Chase level talent.
If you take out, just quickly, D-Bro, if you take out JSN from the equation, do you agree with Pat that none of the other rookie receivers are going to finish in the top 20?
I agree with it based off of, like, if you're pinning your hopes to Jordan Addison, but I am curious because my dude, my wide receiver two of this class is Zay Flowers. If he ends up landing in a place like the Giants or the Vikings going in the 20s, I could see him possibly paying off, especially with Minnesota and their high pass rate. But outside of that, if you take JSN off the board, I don't disagree with Pat too much here.
We're on to our top three predictions here. Fitz, I'll start with you this time.
All right, Mike Gesicki is going to be a top 10 fantasy tight end. And so D-Bro and I are trying to give you, you know, people complaining about the lack of depth at tight end. We've given you Jelani Woods. We're giving you Mike Gesicki. This is a little spicy, but look, Gesicki is one of the most athletic tight ends in the league. And he had a 703-yard season in 2020. and then a 73-catch, 780-yard season in 2021. Then go figure, the Dolphins franchise tag him, and Mike McDaniel decides not to use him as much, dramatically pulling back the reins on Gesicki's snap counts. Now Gesicki is going to be playing for new Patriots offensive coordinator Bill O'Brien, who just so happened to be Gesicki's college coach at Penn State. I'm not saying Gesicki and Hunter Henry can be Rob Gronkowski and Aaron Hernandez for Bill Bryan, but the last time we saw Bill Bryan as the OC in New England, Gronk and Hernandez combined for 169 catches, 2,237 yards, and 24 touchdowns. So, yeah, granted, Mac Jones is not Tom Brady, but, you know, and Gesicki is no Gronk. But I do think Gesicki is going to be much more involved than he was last season. And I think we're going to see a nice bounce back year from him.
So Fitz has Mike Gesicki as a top 10 fantasy tight end. Debro's prediction here is that Darren Waller will be a top 3 fantasy tight end.
I think Darren Waller is one of the few guys that can contend with the ceiling of Travis Kelce. Looking at this year, and I don't understand why this is spicy. Like, it's all recency stuff. People are like, oh, but Darren Waller's hurt. And all the injury boo birds of Twitter come out. And they're like, if you're able to prognosticate injuries to the level of Twitter, please go play the lottery. Do other things. Win yourself $1 million. I don't ever understand it. And I don't get why this is a hot take. But Darren Waller could easily be top 3. He is my tight end 2 for this year. I love him because the last time we saw Darren Waller surrounded by a bunch of beta wide receivers, what did he do, people? He was first in target share, second in targets per route run. He finished as the tight end 2 in fantasy points per game with 145 freaking targets. Who is going to challenge Darren Waller for targets in New York? If you look at the composition of this depth chart, and an emerging Giants offense, because we're gonna still stay on the Giants offense. A little bit of foreshadowing here. Darren Waller can explode. If he is healthy, the talent is still there. He's not 35 years old. He's not old and creaky, and we're worried about him just like falling apart. He had 2 down seasons where he dealt with injuries. If he stays healthy, he is going to crush.
You can always tell when Debro is prepping for a podcast because the night before he tweets out a lot of these stats about the guys that he's getting ready to talk about the next day. I saw you tweet about Darren Waller last night and I knew we were going to see that pop up again today. So everybody, just if you want to get a little sneak peek of the podcast, definitely go follow Debro on Twitter. Follow Pat too. He doesn't share his future podcast comments early.
Pat shares his love of music, so I think that is probably worth more than my fantasy tweets, if we're just being honest here.
but both great follows on Twitter, but for entirely different reasons. Let's get to our top 2 fantasy predictions here. Fitz, starting with you.
Jonathan Taylor is going to run for 2,000 yards this season, Ryan. And in 2021, which was Taylor's second NFL season, he ran for 1,811 yards and 18 touchdowns. And the funny thing about that season is that Frank Reich was the Colts head coach and play caller at the time. And for some reason, it took Reich half a season to figure out that Taylor was not getting the ball enough. And halfway through, he shifted and turned Taylor into a bell cow. Over the first 8 games of that year, Taylor averaged 15.1 carries a game. Over the last 9 games of the year, he averaged 23.4 carries a game and 129.1 rushing yards per game, which, if you take that second half of the season productivity, projects to 2,194 yards over a full season. So Taylor is truly a great running back who just simply couldn't stay healthy last season. Colts offensive line should again be among the best in the league. If Taylor stays healthy all year, and if Shane Steichen, the Colts' new head coach and play caller, gives Taylor enough carries and doesn't have as slow a learning curve on that as Frank Reich had in 2021, Jonathan Taylor's going to run for 2,000 yards.
Debro, give me your next prediction.
So staying inside of the Big Apple, the New York Giants will be a top 10 scoring and pace offense in 2023. Again, staying on all this Giants love. If you look at last season, so they started out weeks 1 through 10. Brian Daboll said, look, we don't have the receiving weapons. What are you asking me to do except for run the ball? They were 22nd in neutral pace, 30th in neutral passing rate. Now, after you had Richie James step forward, Isaiah Hodgins, these are not great names. Okay. The rest of the season, this was a team that was 12th in pace and 14th in passing rate. They were also 13th in EPA per play and 11th in play success rate. Now you're talking about they've added a bunch of guys in the offseason as far as like pass catchers, Wanda Robinson, hopefully he comes back healthy. They brought back Darius Slayton, Darren Waller's in town. They probably address the wide receiver position further with a wide receiver in round one. All this points to the Giants are going to run faster, score more, and pass more in 2023.
Our final predictions here. Fitz, what is your number one way too early fantasy prediction for 2023?
Kadarius Toney stays healthy for the entire 2023 season and ends up in wide receiver one range. And oh man, I'm just like, I've got such a fatal attraction to Kadarius Toney. I know the guy is held together with paper mache and probably is not going to stay healthy, but my goodness, if he does, Kadarius Toney in his 2 years has played 445 regular season snaps, and he's been targeted 77 times. He has been targeted on 17.3% of his snaps. George Pickens didn't even have a 17% target share last year. Pickens saw 15.3% of the Steelers team targets. Toney has earned a target on 17.3% of all his snaps in two NFL seasons. And in the playoffs last year, he played 30 snaps, 10 targets. He was getting targeted on a third of his snaps. This dude is a remarkable athletic specimen who has 4-4 speed and then just joystick moves. I mean, he has change of direction ability that borders on the impossible. I know this guy has already dealt with a laundry list of injuries over his first two seasons. Like, I can't even remember all the things, all the body parts that this guy has hurt so far. But if he can just stay reasonably healthy all year in an offense with Patrick Mahomes at quarterback and Andy Reid designing the plays, we could get 100 catch season out of Kadarius Toney, and he could put up some bonkers yardage and touchdown numbers. And yet Toney's ECR right now is wide receiver 45. 8 spots behind George Pickens. That's a mistake. I mean, like, if you're going to gamble on this guy staying healthy, because if he does, he is going to put up a monster season.
So, Pat, I have to ask, what percentage of this prediction is true belief versus wishful thinking?
Oh, man, it is, knowing the injury history, Ryan, it's probably 80% wishful thinking. But yeah. My goodness, if like the injury gods cooperate, I'm just so giddy over what the possibilities are with Kadarius.
And Pat, you mentioned the ADP there for both Pickens and Toney. Just a reminder to everybody, we have all this ADP information on Fantasy Pros website. So all summer long, you'll see you guys trending in different directions. We'll have plenty of articles about it too, but be sure to check that out and kind of see where players are trending and kind of get a sense of where the hype is going and coming and all that as the offseason progresses here through draft season and everything else. D-Bro, give me your final prediction here.
Okay, so I know that you're going to have to pay up in drafts. I know that he is not going low or anything of that nature, but I'm willing to sit here and I'm going to be heavily exposed to this wide receiver and best ball, redraft, all the formats. Amon-Ra St. Brown is the dark horse wide receiver one overall in 2023. Yes, I said it, better than Ja'Marr Chase, better than Justin Jefferson. That is in his range of outcomes. If you look at what Amon-Ra St. Brown did last year, we know that the volume is perfectly there. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was 8th in raw targets, 11th in target share, 3rd in targets per route run last year. So the volume narrative, you know, no TJ Hockenson this year. It's going to be him and Jameson Williams. If DeAndre Swift is marginalized a little bit, you could see the target share possibly even creeping up a little bit closer to that 30% range. But what is going to push Amon-Ra over here is the fact that the touchdowns are coming, people. Weeks 1 through 9, he was 32nd in red zone targets amongst wide receivers. Not great, right? He picked it up over the back half of the season. And if that falls into this year, he is going to explode and have double-digit touchdowns. Over weeks 10 through 18, he led all wide receivers in red zone targets. If that continues, Amon-Ra St. Brown's touchdown equity is through the roof. We know the volume is there. Wide receiver one overall.
I know you're putting him as a dark horse wide receiver wide overall, so it's not like you would draft him ahead of like Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson, but who are the names that you would draft him over?
Looking at the guys that are going in that late or the second round range, or I mean, I would take him over Davante Adams. Garrett Wilson is going right behind him. Some people would draft him over Amon-Ra. I'll take him. And this is all the Fantasy Pros Championship ADP. I'm willing to take him even over my guy from last year, my man, my crush, AJ Brown. I think that wow, that's a few different names.
That is saying something.
It is. I love AJ Brown, but we got to sit here and be real. Devontae Smith is going to eat into his target share. He is a stud in his own right. We saw that down the stretch. I mean, I love Jameson Williams, and I think he's going to have a fantastic sophomore season. But outside of Jameson Williams, who the hell is taking targets away from Amon-Ra St. Brown? Who?
That's fair. We're not done with the predictions yet. We've got some rapid fire ones here that I'll throw towards both of you. Number one here, will any of this year's rookie quarterbacks make an immediate impact in the NFL? And if so, state the one quarterback who will make the biggest impact and why. And if not, why not? Fitz, starting with you.
I'll say yes. I'll say Bryce Young and CJ Stroud are starters from day one and both acquit themselves well. I think maybe Bryce Young acquits himself a little better, probably the most pro ready of all the quarterbacks in this class.
Are Stroud and Young going 1-2?
I think Pat? So. Yeah.
D-bro?
For me, it's going to be Stroud and Anthony Richardson. I think if we had word that Anthony Richardson was going to start, we knew that was the case. You can make an easy case to put him as a top 12 quarterback in fantasy. And I know people could say that's insane, but his rushing equity, as long as it's the same case we made for Trey Lance in yesteryear, Jalen Hurts, all these rushing quarterbacks. If he starts, you're looking at a top 12 fantasy quarterback. So I say Anthony Richardson and CJ Stroud. Stroud is a freaking baller. That dude is the unequivocal QB1 in this class. And he's going to be good as soon as he hits the NFL field.
Yeah, I'm fully with you on Stroud. That is definitely bold and bullish on Richardson. Next question, Pat, which team will be this year's biggest surprise?
I'll say the Cleveland Browns. D-Bro sort of hinted at it. They just need Deshaun Watson to be something close to the Deshaun Watson we saw in Houston in the early part of his career. But the rest of that team looks terrific. I mean, Nick Chubb, they've added to the receivers with Elijah Moore. The offensive line is really good. And the defense has a lot of talent on it. That pass defense started to become airtight down the stretch last season. And, you know, if they continue to trend in the right direction on defense and get that Deshaun Watson season, look out.
If Kenny Pickett takes a step forward that D-Bro mentioned, and if the Browns are a surprise, like Fitz mentioned, we all believe in the Bengals. If Lamar comes back to the Ravens, that division is going to be nasty.
A war.
D-Bro, what's your biggest surprise team?
Well, I would have loved to pick the Browns, but Fitz, being the wily veteran that he is, got into the sheet before me. So I love the Browns call here. And I'm not a homer. People should know this. I don't bring the bias to the table when it comes to this, but I think the New Orleans Saints are the team that I'm going to peg here. You're looking at a team that actually, like, they have Derek Carr in town. And whether I know that I was really on the Andy Dalton train, Derek Carr is a serviceable NFL quarterback. So as long as he can be a serviceable NFL quarterback, if we get Michael Thomas back, heck, even if we don't, you're talking about, can Juwan Johnson take another step? Chris Olave take another step? Rashid Shaheed, we saw down the stretch. Plus, this defense is still good. And the Saints now have draft picks to sit here and address it. They could take an edge defensive tackle, and this defense could be formidable. We know that the NFC is more for the taking than the AFC is. I think you're looking at the Saints, as long as they get health and decent running back play, you're looking at a team that could sniff 10, 11 wins this year. And I don't think that's crazy to say.
D-Bro, you're fully encouraged to be a homer on the show. With as much as I talk about the Ravens, Pat just picked a Wisconsin Badger to rush for 2,000 yards this year. You are allowed to be a homer as well. Rapid fire prediction number three, the 2022 season had the fewest passing touchdowns since 2008 and the lowest quarterback rating since 2014. Will passing production bounce back in 2023, Fitz?
No, I think defenses are going to keep the upper hand on the passing game. When I think we are starting to see running games become a little more efficient. And I think that kind of continues. I know a lot of fantasy analysts think NFL teams should be passing on every down because that's the more efficient way to go. But, you know, clearly that's not the case when so many NFL defensives coordinators are geared up towards stopping the pass, doing whatever it takes, more zone defense. Yeah, I don't think we see that change this year.
So, D-Bro, the old guy on the podcast just said we should run the dang ball. What do you think?
Golly! Ryan just like coming for the throat here, man. You hate to see it, Pat. You really do. Tossing Pat under the boomer bus, baby. Golly! I mean, and shoot, I'm afraid of what he's going to say to me because I'm in concert with Pat. We're holding hands on the boomer bus. Save me a seat, Pat, because I think defenses are still going to win the day this year. I will add a caveat here. I think we're a year away from seeing that bounce back. And why I think that is, I think you're going to see if this tight end class, and not just putting this all off on them, if this tight end class that's coming in right now hits in a big way, the way that NFL offenses need to sit here and design a lot of their passing attacks to beat these cover two, beat these zone defenses, is to utilize tight ends, which we have a fantastic class coming in, pass catching running backs, and guys that can make yak. So I think we're a year away from seeing a bounce back, but I'm going to agree with the supposed boomer on the show here.
Well, you're both older than me, so it applies to both of you. But
I knew you were coming for the throat for me too, man. I was just waiting for it. Just waiting for it, Ryan.
Well, I do think it's a fair point too on the draft class, though, because we actually have seen a couple of the quarterback classes not hit in the way we fully expected them to in recent years, whereas this year we've got, I know, at least a couple of guys we all really liked, and you know, your mileage may vary on like the Will Levises of the world, but some really talented guys coming in. And then next year, of course, everybody's looking at Caleb Williams and Drake May. So we could see a more of a resurgence too with just the incoming, you know, influx of really good young talent. Question number four, which teams will make it to the Super Bowl this season and who wins, Pat?
Kansas City Chiefs over the Dallas Cowboys. Not going to get cute. I mean, the Chiefs have been the favorites and deservedly so the last few years. And Dallas was close. I mean, they almost beat the 49ers last year. Yeah, so Chiefs over Cowboys.
Debra?
Well, Pat went with the chalk here. I'm going to go off the board a little bit. I really like the Dallas Cowboys call. I almost went with them. But for the sake of diversity, I'm going to go with the Cincinnati Bengals taking home the trophy, and they are going to beat the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl. And for everybody that could hear me bringing up Seattle and say, what? This is an improved team. And you're talking about a team that has a boatload of picks inside the top 50 in the NFL draft. So all they're going to be able to do is continue to load up on high-end talent, as well as if Chef Geno keeps cooking, this team could take a big step forward and could surprise people and be a 12-win team this year.
I think there are a lot of teams that could make a step forward in the NFC, but I'm going to go even chalkier than Fitz and say Chiefs-Eagles again. I'm not going to pick against the Chiefs until we no longer have Mahomes and Andy Reid, you know, paired together. I'm just going to pick them every year as long as that's the case. And the Eagles are, I think, clearly the best team in the NFC. I don't see any reason why they're going to take some huge step back or anything. And they were head and shoulders the class of that conference last year. So it's boring to pick a repeat. I think we do see a repeat going into next year. And then lastly, who will be this season's MVP, Pat?
I've already made a bunch of bold predictions, Ryan, so I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes here and just be boring as I possibly can.
Yeah, I fully agree. D-Bro, are you going to go out on a limb here?
I'm just going to go with the guy that I took winning the Super Bowl. Give me Joe Burrow. If there's anybody that we're talking about that can dethrone Patrick Mahomes, you're talking on one hand the number of quarterbacks that could possibly do that. So I'll go Burrow.
That'll wrap things up for us. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in, as always. And please, please, please do not forget to enter into the Fantasy Pros FFPC Championship. Again, guys, $1 million. For D-Bro and Fitz, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.